Hello and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast, episode 150. Now, we were this week going to have a sort of big celebration episode of 150. We're going to do that next week now because, of course, Ben, it's been a strange old week here in the UK.
It certainly has.
This is going to be a very different podcast. It's not going to be very long, but we just felt we should just reflect on what's been happening. Obviously, Queen Elizabeth II passed away this week, and it just feels really odd since this all happened. And I've been trying to sort of get my head around it all because we were talking before we recorded, even if you're not a staunch monarchist, even if you don't believe in the institution of a monarchy, it's just quite weird that none of us have ever known anything other than Queen Elizabeth on the throne. And you have to be in your late 70s or 80s to have any living memory of anything other than having the Queen. It just feels bizarre that she's no longer there.
It really does. And I know in the past, I'm kind of the person you're talking about. I've not been, you know, pro-royalist, monarchist, anything like that. And I've made, you know, light-hearted jabs about the royal family. But in truth, I must say for myself, I felt more swayed by it than I thought I would be. It's been the, like you say, she's been a constant, and it's the changing of that, and it's hit me harder than I thought it would, to be honest.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I heard it described by someone as your whole life there's been a tune playing, and you've only noticed the tune because it stopped.
Yes.
That's it, isn't it? It's like you might not have taken any interest in the royal family, anything around that, and yet you know that the Queen's always been there, and there's some sort of reassurance in a way that she's been there, and then suddenly she's not. And I don't know about you, obviously I'm sure they keep things quite well guarded when it comes to news about the health, and we know that obviously in more recent times she's had these mobility issues that we've been made aware of, but it all just seemed to happen so quickly. Like there was no kind of preparing yourself for this moment, because I think we talked about this when it was the Jubilee and I went up to London. I kind of embraced these moments of history, and this is it's such a massive moment of history. There are phrases that come up that make you realise how momentous a moment in history, in our country's history, this is. And like you, I'm not the staunchest monarchist. I have so much admiration for what the Queen did in her 70 years that I just think I've been more. What surprised me more is I felt very protective of her memory. When I've seen things on social media that aren't particularly nice, some of them downright disgusting, frankly, I found myself feeling quite angry and protective, which I didn't know I was going to get that.
Yeah, sadly, some social media posts have been, I don't know if it's deliberately antagonistic or just downright rude. But yes, I do agree. I mean, you have the free will to say what you want, but no one could argue she was an absolute trooper. She lived and died by this country and by the UK, and no one could take that away.
No, and I think the fact that she, you know, we used to talk just between you and I sometimes about the fact that I never believed that she would abdicate. You know, if she got older, I always knew that she would carry on until the day she passed away. And because duty was just the thing that was instilled in her. And what I find quite interesting is how everything has to move very quickly. So, like, you know, literally within moments of her death being announced, we're talking about King Charles. And I don't think it was confirmed for a little while that he was going to be known as King Charles III. I think when the Prime Minister did her speech, that was when that was said. And it came up on the kind of, you know, the news ticker at the bottom. And just seeing that was really, it kind of felt like, I've never seen the word king in relation to our nation before, but that happened so quickly. It's like he's literally, the moment the Queen died, he became king.
Do you remember how every year when the you know, New Year's Eve, we tick over the clock, and then it takes you a few weeks to get used to, you know, going from 2022 to 2023, and you make that mistake a few times.
Mm, yeah.
I think it's going to take me a while because I do occasionally get a bit patriotic and sing the national anthem. I think there will be, for the first few occasions at least, times when I'm caught singing God Save the King.
I promise you everyone will do that, because we've never known anything else. I was watching the it's bizarre. I mean, I like the history of stuff, but I do find sometimes the kind of pageantry a bit weird, because it's the same thing that's happened for 1,000 years. So when they did the sort of official proclamation of Charles becoming king, I don't know if you saw any of that.
I did see some of it, yes.
So it's the first time it's ever been seen by anyone other than people that were in that room. It's never been televised before. It's never been broadcast in any way before. So that was kind of interesting to see that. But it's the bit where they all came outside and you kind of get the trumpeters in those kind of heraldic uniforms that are very, again, like medieval. It's part of the history, but you look at it and you think, if you'd come from another planet and you were suddenly seeing this weirdness of people in, quite frankly, silly-looking outfits,
yeah,
blowing trumpets and talking in this sort of medieval way, you think, this is weird. This is like, over here I can see computers and cars and stuff, and then there's this medieval thing going on, and I find that quite fascinating and almost like, will that ever change? Like, those sorts of things. I'm not really one for, although I like tradition in some ways, I sort of feel like, will there come a time where that's modernised? Do we need all of that? Because that is, I find that a bit odd. Some people love that. Some people love that sort of pageantry and that sort of stuff. But to me, I look at it and I think, it all looks weird.
It does a bit. But I think it's part of the, I don't know what the word is, part of the sort of brilliance of what our country and the United Kingdom is, I think.
Yes, I mean, it's got all of that sort of history, and the fact that that process hasn't changed for 1,000 years. And even like the way, so they did the official proclamation is done in London, St James's Palace, I think it is. Then in the City of London, it was done. And then it's not till 24 hours later it happens in Cardiff and other capital cities across the UK.
Oh, wow.
And I was hearing this morning when I was listening to all this stuff that is because back in the medieval times and later, they wouldn't get the news until at least 24 hours later, because it would need a messenger on horseback to go to those places and tell them that the monarch had died and there was now a new king or queen.
Oh, really?
And so to reflect that time frame, they still delay other places doing the official proclamation because of that reason, which is fascinating. That, because now, like, everyone knows, right? They could all do it at the same time, but because of the history, tradition, and all of that stuff, they stick to it. Which is, it's kind of, like I said, I'm not massively into that. It's kind of quaint and nice in a way.
Yeah, that really is interesting, and I don't know, is that quite a sentimental touch? I think it really is.
It's holding on to a heritage, I suppose, isn't it? It's holding on. Like, as much as I sometimes think it could be, you could modernise a lot of this, I suppose it wouldn't have the charm that, as you said, makes it quintessentially British.
Yeah, I think it's the same sort of logic as why barristers today still wear those wigs. It's just because it's tradition, it's pomp and ceremony, really.
Yes, yeah, no, it's true. I don't even know what the reason for the wig is. That's an interesting thing, as an aside.
I did look it up the other day, and it apparently is as simple as it's just a sort of division, a visual division between the law and, I guess, not the law.
Okay. No.
It's not a very interesting explanation, but
I thought you were going to say, so it was almost a disguise.
No, it's not. It's never been a disguise, no.
The weirdest thing I read, I thought this was a joke when I first read this, by the way. This is genuinely true.
Okay.
The royal beekeeper, this is a tradition that goes back centuries, apparently.
Didn't know there was one.
Well, no, I didn't know there was a royal beekeeper. But the royal beekeeper will inform the hives and the bees.
This is a joke.
No, this is genuinely true. Will inform the hives and the bees in the grounds of Buckingham Palace and Clarence House of the death of the Queen. And the bees have also been told, I love this line, it says the bees have also been told in hushed tones,
oh, bless.
Like the bee whisperers, that their new master is now King Charles III. And then the official palace beekeeper also ties black ribbons around the hives.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, with all due love and respect, what a waste of time. But what a sweet thing to do at the same time.
They have to say a certain line as well, right? So he goes round, he drapes the hives with the black ribbons and a bow. He then knocks on each hive. And in this case...
I'm sorry. I know we were doing this very brief podcast as a sort of mark of respect, but I'm starting to think you are winding me up.
No, this is what I mean. There's so many interesting things that you learn at a time like this that you wouldn't ever know unless you live through the changing of a monarch, and we've never lived through it before. So this is all new stuff to me, and this is genuinely true. The royal beekeeper ties a black bow around each hive. He then knocks on each hive. And I mean, I shouldn't laugh because it's a very serious subject and we're talking about a very serious and sad thing.
No, I think we're handling it respectfully, but what you're saying is ridiculous.
But he says, the mistress is dead, but don't you go. Your master will be a good master to you.
Well, I think anyone listening to this, if nothing else, will be able to say they've learned something today.
I was telling someone else about this and they said to me, but wouldn't it confuse the bees? Would they think it's their queen that had died? And I said, I don't think they really understand what's being said to them.
Yeah, they're making an intellectual leap there, aren't they? That the bees can understand what the hell's being said to them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that's just, it's just one of those weird, I mean, apparently this happened for centuries, this tradition, and it's all in the around the superstition around honey production and all that sort of stuff. So I mean, those sort of things I find quite, they're just like, you genuinely probably didn't believe me for a moment there. Like, again, if I went to any country in the world and said to them, oh, you know, sadly our Queen Elizabeth II has passed away and we now have King Charles III, the bees were obviously told. They wouldn't think I was being serious, would they? They would look at me and go, I'll do one.
I believe you. I find it eccentrically British and wacky, but simultaneously lovely.
It made me think, have they told all the other animals? I mean, has anyone informed the swans yet? It just made me worry about all the other flora and fauna impacted by the sad news.
I did see a heartbreaking photo of the Queen's corgis being carried off of a helicopter or a plane or something. And that really got to me.
I hadn't thought of the corgis.
Yeah.
Because you know what dogs are like, the loyal. They will miss her more than... you will know.
Yes, and I tend to love dogs more than people, so that really got to me, that one.
Because that was the thing. I mean, she loved her animals, didn't she? Horses and dogs, she loved. There's also a lovely clip, which has sort of, again, been doing the rounds. She was at some event, like some sort of, I don't know what it would have been, some sort of farming thing. And the Queen's sitting there, sort of watching it all, not much expression on her face, as was often the case when she was at certain events. You know, she was fairly sort of just very stoic, sitting through whatever she was possibly having to endure in some cases. I'm sure she didn't enjoy every every appointment she had to fulfil.
No.
And there's just this one moment where her face lights up and she says to the person next to her, whilst pointing, look, cows! And you can lip read. She's definitely saying it. I mean, unless someone's doctored the clips I've seen. But just the joy on her face. I think she preferred animals to humans. I heard someone say on one of the tributes this week, she was actually the happiest when she was in conversation with her dogs or her horses.
Well, then she's my kind of woman.
She would go out and walk the dogs and probably just talk. Like a lot of people do, you just talk to your dogs, you talk to your horses. The lovely moments, again, they've been replaying where she's been at the horse racing and she gets excited and she runs out with her binoculars.
I've seen that, yeah, it's lovely.
Just lovely little moments like that. Now, did you, I'm not saying met, But did you ever see the Queen in person?
I did.
You did?
My dad received an MBE.
Oh, wow.
So he got to be within punching distance of Her Majesty.
I mean,
Queen.
You could have said nodding distance. But now you're going for the punch.
I find it astonishing that if someone was to go mental, they could land a blow on the monarch if they wanted to. They let them get that close.
But you'd have to be in a position where you're getting an MBE.
Yeah.
At which point you're probably part of the establishment in many ways.
Unless you're a very calculated person.
I mean, you wouldn't do it if you get a knighthood and she's got the sword in her hand.
Oh, that's a good choice, yeah.
Can I ask, you may not be able to tell me, but were any words exchanged between Her Majesty and your father?
There were words exchanged. From my recollection, and I apologise if I get this incorrect, but she was thanking my dad for his 30 years in the civil service, and she hadn't been informed that he had since left and had started a new venture, and she was complimenting him on his ongoing service, and he didn't have the heart to correct the Queen that he had
best not, I reckon.
See, he could have lamped her, couldn't he?
Bit of an extreme reaction for just sort of getting the years of your service incorrect, wouldn't it be? A bit extreme.
No, so I was sat in the audience. Sounds like a strange word. I was in the room watching, very proud. So, yes, that was as close as I've ever got to the Queen.
Wow. I mean, you've been nearer than I've been to. I've seen her on three occasions, four occasions within distance of her. But the Platinum Jubilee, when I went up, I couldn't actually see her because there was a massive screen blocking the balcony. But I did see her out on the balcony when I went to a Golden Jubilee up in London. But, again, I was a long way away. I just saw this little sort of... I seem to remember it being very bright pink she was wearing. I just saw this sort of pink blob come out onto this balcony. I went for the Diamond Jubilee, but she was on her boat going by, so I saw her then. And then I did see her once. When she used to go to the Epsom Derby, on her way back, she would drive past my mate's house. And you could literally stand on the side of the road and just see her go by. No police sort of holding you back.
Wow.
Just stand there. And so I saw her. But, I mean, she whizzes by very quickly.
I would like to say, by the way, this is supposed to be our very respectful tribute to Her Majesty the Queen. And I've described her being within punching distance.
Yes.
And you have described her as a pink blob.
Yeah, I mean, I probably...
So we're not nailing this, are we?
No. I mean, it might have been Mr. Blobby that was out there. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, what I'm trying to convey is that I was a very long way away. But there was still... That was the first time, I think, I'd ever seen her. And there was an element... But there was the excitement, because even though it was just this little... I don't want to use the word blob, this little figure in pink that I could see from quite a distance, there was a bit of excitement. So there she is. That's our queen, you know. It's all, it's going to be a weird adjustment period. Like all the coins are going to change, you know, all the stamps are going to change, passports are going to have to change. All those things that have got the queen's image on are all going to have to change.
I also don't have any problem with a slightly light-hearted tribute, because I think the Queen herself was quite mischievous in her own personality at times.
Well, everyone says that everyone that sort of knew her on a sort of more close level always said what a great sense of humour she had. So I don't think she would, you know, we're just having a little bit of lightness around the subject. We're not being disrespectful to her. You know, some people may not even like the idea that we're discussing it if you're that anti-monarchy, but I just felt we needed to reflect what's going on because it's such a momentous thing and I'm still processing it in my mind. As we started by saying, it's someone that's been there all our lives and suddenly it's not there. And it is a sad thing, and it is something that I found far more disorientating than I thought I would. Someone said it's like the nation's lost a grandmother.
I absolutely agree. And I've also got to say, and you won't hear this out of my mouth very much, if ever, again, I felt, I don't know if you've listened, but I felt Boris Johnson And Theresa May especially stole the show, I thought, in fantastically lovely tributes.
Theresa May made me laugh. Her story about dropping the cheese on the floor, making a split decision to pick it up and put it back on the plate, and then realising the Queen had been watching her every move.
Yeah.
Was just... because it broke... I think it broke the tension. This was when, for anyone who's not aware, this was when the politicians convened at the House of Parliament for tributes. And obviously the Prime Minister, Leader of the Opposition, very sort of... they were just very kind of straight tributes. And then Theresa May came in with her story of the cheese and broke the tension that this didn't need to be a sorrowful sort of occasion, because she did have a sense of humour, and therefore she would have appreciated the tension being broken by some humorous stories. And yeah. I didn't listen to much more. I believe there were many more stories with lots of humorous anecdotes in it. I tell you what, my favorite story, which actually came from someone at the Jubilee, and it's been doing the rounds on social media again this week. So there's a guy being interviewed. He was actually a former protection officer for the Queen. And he tells his story of them being in Balmoral on this one occasion. They'd gone out for a picnic. And I don't know if you know, but the grounds of Balmoral, again, this is something I only found out listening to the stuff over the last few days. In Scotland, there's no laws around trespass or something like that.
Okay.
So anyone could walk on the Balmoral estate.
Right.
Even though it's privately owned by the royal family. So hikers would be there. So they were out and these hikers appeared, American tourists.
You'd have to keep your wits about you because they often... bomb round there in Land Rovers, don't they?
Yeah, well, yes. So they came and started talking to the Queen, and the Royal Protection Officer was there. And the Queen, apparently, whenever she came across hikers, would ask lots of questions, you know, where have you come from, all that stuff, and they had the nice conversation. And then they said to the Queen, are you from round here? And the Queen said, oh, no, I'm from London, but I have a place that I can stay at round here. And then they said to her, oh, do you come here often, sort of thing? And she said, well, I've been coming up here for 80 years. And then they went, oh, so have you ever met the Queen? And apparently the Queen said to them, well, I haven't, but Dickie here, the Royal Protection Officer, he has a few times. And apparently they then said, so what's she like? And he knew her quite well, the Queen, so he was able to sort of say, oh, she's all right, you know, a bit cantankerous at times. Anyway,
that's brave.
The American tourists then wanted a picture of themselves with the Protection Officer because he had supposedly met the Queen. So they took, I think the Queen took the photo.
Oh, wow.
And then the Protection Officer kind of said, well, you might take a picture with this lady. So then he took a picture of the tourists with the Queen. And he said, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall when they got home to America and were showing their family the pictures, and somebody at some point must have said, I think that's the Queen. And I think she would have loved that. I think that was sort of her sense of humour. She'd go along with a joke, and I like people that will go along with a joke.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there we are. That's it for this little special podcast, just remembering the Queen, who sadly passed away this week. And we remember her fondly.
Absolutely. And God save the King.